Mahabharata, Part 1, Chapter 33. Jayadratha kidnaps Draupadi. About a month after the incident with Durvasa, the Pandavas were out hunting together. They had left Draupadi at the hermitage under the care of their priest, Domya. While they were gone, the king of Sindhu, Jayadratha, passed that way while traveling to Shalva's kingdom. Seated upon a royal chariot, he came to the outskirts of the Pandavas' ashram and saw Draupadi gathering flowers. The king at once fell in love. The beautiful Draupadi, her dark complexion framed by bluish curls, shed luster on the woodlands. As she bent over to gather the wild forest flowers, Jayadratha was captivated. He then said to his son, Kokita, "Go, ask this lady what is her name. Find out if she is an apsara or a daughter of some god." Jayadratha was on his way to marry the daughter of King Shalva. But upon seeing Draupadi, he lost all interest in that other princess. Why, no other woman could ever match the beauty of this forest lady. "Go, Kokita, find out why this lady loiters in this forest full of wild beasts and thorns. If she will have me as her lord, then only will I consider my life successful." Kokita the prince jumped down from the chariot, just as a jackal approaches a tigress. He went up to Draupadi and asked, "O fair one, who are you? You stand here leaning on the branch of a kadamba tree, looking like a brilliant flame. Why do you feel no fear in this forest? Are you a goddess or the daughter of a celestial? Perhaps you are the wife of a lokapala. Tell me, gentle lady, who and whose you are. What is your race? And why are you here?" The prince introduced himself and then, pointing to his father, said, "That one there, shining like a sacrificial fire, is the king of Sindhu. Surrounded by powerful kings, he is traveling at the head of 6,000 chariots and many elephants, horsemen, and infantry. Like Indra amid the Maruts, he is journeying among his friends. He is gazing upon you, O thin-waisted one." Draupadi stepped back and pulled her cloth over her head. "O prince, it is not proper for me to speak to you here. The ordinance dictates that a woman should never be alone with any man other than her husband. Under the circumstances, however, I will tell you who I am. I am the daughter of King Drupada and the wife of the 5 heroic Pandava brothers. My husbands are now out hunting, but they will return soon. You should tell your father to dismount from his chariot and wait for them. Yudhishthira is fond of guests and will doubtlessly offer you a fitting reception." Draupadi turned and walked back to her cottage, leaving Kokita standing by the kadamba tree. Gokita then returned to his father and told him what she had just said. Why have you returned unsuccessful? I must have that woman. Now that I have seen her, all other women seem to me to be like monkeys. Why, my mind was entranced the moment I saw that princess. Then you will have to take her by force, dear father, for she will not come willingly. Jayadratha got down from his chariot and went with his son and several other kings toward the hermitage of the Pandavas. Like a pack of wolves entering a den of a lion, they went into the ashram and saw Draupadi standing there. In a silky voice, Jayadratha said, "Is all well with you and your husbands, O Queen?" Draupadi answered that everything was well. And then she said, "Is all well with your kingdom, treasuries, and armies? Are you justly ruling the prosperous countries of Sindhu, Saldira, and are all others brought under your sway? Yudhishthira will soon return and offer you refreshments. For now, please accept this water to wash your feet and be pleased to wait for my husband's." Draupadi pointed towards several large pitchers of water standing by her cottage. Jayadratha smiled. "All is well with us, O fair-faced one, but we have no interest in food or water." He stared at Draupadi as he continued to speak. "I wish to take you with us. Why do you remain attached to Kunti's wretched sons? They have lost all their prosperity and are forced to dwell in the forest. A woman of good sense does not devote herself to a fallen husband. Your husbands have fallen from their dignity and have lost everything. You need not share the Pandavas' miseries. Of you, oh, you of beautiful hips, renouncing them, become my wife and share with me the kingdoms of Sindhu and Saldira." Draupadi frowned and retreated a few steps. She felt pain to hear Jayadratha's speech. "Are you not ashamed to speak in this way? How dare you address me like this?" Draupadi's face flushed and her eyes turned crimson. Her voice rose to an angry shout. "Oh, fool! How dare you insult the illustrious Pandavas, each of whom is like Indra himself? They all abide by their duties and never waver in battle, even with the celestials. The wise never criticize men who practice devout penances, even if they are impoverished. Why, only dogs speak like you. I do not see anyone here who can save you from the pit that you have dug under your own feet. By expecting to defeat the pious Yudhishthira, you hope to separate with a stick a Himalayan elephant from his herd. Out of childishness, you are rousing a sleeping mountain lion to pluck a hair from his face. You will have to flee with all speed when you see the furious Bhima. When Arjuna returns, you will not know which way to turn. You're inviting these two heroes to an encounter is like a fool trampling on the trails of two enraged and venomous cobras. As a bamboo bears fruit only to perish, or as a crab conceives only to die, so you shall meet your end when you lay your hands upon me. Jayadratha only laughed, enchanted by the sight of the furious Draupadi. I know all of this, O Panchali. You cannot frighten me with your threats. I am born in a royal line, endowed with opulences and qualities. I consider the Pandavas inferior. Therefore, mount my chariot and come with me. Do not speak so boastfully. Draupadi was horrified. Why does this fool take me to be powerless? Why, even Indra cannot abduct me. Why, even if he tried, Arjuna and Krishna, riding upon the same chariot, would follow and destroy him. What then to speak of a weak human? O King, when Arjuna releases his deadly arrows, you will see your entire force destroyed, just as dry grass is consumed by fire. Beholding Bhima rushing upon you with his upraised mace, and the twins ranging on all sides, vomiting forth their anger, you will then be very sorry. As I have never proven false to my husband, even in my thoughts, so those men will destroy you. I do not fear you, you wretch. Draupadi looked away from Jayadratha. She knew that by her own ascetic powers, she could reduce him to ashes. But she did not want to be drawn to violence by this Jayadratha. Her husbands would deal with him soon enough. Jayadratha stepped forward and seized the princess by her arm. She cried out, "Do not pollute me by your touch." She called out for Domya. Jayadratha took hold of her upper garment, but she pushed him back with such force that he fell to the ground. Now Jayadratha was angry. He grabbed Draupadi and dragged her to his chariot. Domya suddenly appeared and rebuked Jayadratha. "You cannot seize this lady without defeating the Pandavas, O King. You should observe the Kshatriya's ancient custom. Truly, you will reap the results of this wicked act when the heroic Pandavas return." Jayadratha ignored Domya. He placed Draupadi on his chariot and sped away, followed by his army. Domya entered the king's troops and stayed close behind, continuously reprimanding him with strong words. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.